Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Up to this point in this letter from Peter, Peter has been describing the glorious state we as believers are living in. We believers are the elect, chosen, full of hope, knowing the grace of God has come to us, knowing salvation is ours. But that is not all the Christian faith is about. There is a daily living out of the faith. The daily living makes evident that truth. We are the Lord's, set apart as His chosen ones. There is to be a distinction, a setting apart from the rest of the world. In short, we are to be holy as He, the living God, is holy. Now, this being holy is not a precondition that must be present to be qualified to be saved. On the contrary, being holy is the outflowing of the new life by responding to the gospel of Jesus Christ, saved by the grace of God, that life that is born again. Beginning in verse 13, Peter begins with instructing us that Christianity is real and the faith is to be infused into every aspect of life. Peter writes, prepare your minds for action. Christian faith is not passive, like a couch potato or a fan sitting on the bench or the bleachers watching others. Christian faith is getting into the action, living a dynamic, active application of the trust in the living God. It is vigorous, all-out effort, putting everything you have into action. I believe is more than simple words spoken. I believe is an active commitment to following Christ in everything. Beginning with your thinking. First and foremost, you are a Christian. Think like a Christian. Think thoughts that are worthy of your life as a child of God. Paul expresses this same truth in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This thinking is like a racer, a traveler, a warrior, entering into the fray of everyday life with the truth of God inside of you. The truth of God living through you, impacting everyone in your sphere of influence. Do it with adrenaline flowing. Do it with focus. Do it with passion for the Lord Jesus the Christ. But you are not to be like a bull let loose in a china shop. You are to be calm, cool, and collected. The situation will not frazzle you. Self-control is there. It flows from your hope in Jesus Christ. This moment you're in is an opportunity to show that Christ is in your life. The reality that Jesus is your Lord. Before, you may have exploded in anger. Before, you may have cowered in frustration, shutting down emotionally. before you may have melted in despair, or before you may have let out such a profanity-laced bombardment, a diatribe that is just meant to cut the other person to shreds and bring pain. That was before. Now, confidence. Now, resilience. Now, gentle words of compassion. And maybe even now, silence and the turning of a cheek, offering forgiveness and mercy. Such a difference that others present will take a double take and be stunned. They may even ask, how? They may even ask, why? Are you different? Your answer, it is Jesus. His grace, His mercy, His love has made me new. He can do the same for you. Will you let me show you? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. Obedient children is the way Peter phrases it. And the meaning is that obedience is a crucial characteristic of every child of God. As obedient children, notice that verse starts with therefore, that whole summary argument in verse 13, therefore, and all this flows from what comes before. As obedient children, it is a characteristic of being a child of God. It is not optional. Obedience is essential to who we are as children of God. Obedience distinguishes Christians from non-Christians, distinguishes the obedient from the ones who are often called sons of disobedience. This basic character of a believer is obedience to God. The basic character of an unbeliever is disobedience to God. At the same time, though, believers do disobey, sometimes willfully disobey. It is sin. We are still flesh. We fall into temptation. But when that happens, we do not look for ways to justify our behavior. We do not look for ways to unsin what the Word of God declares to be sin. No. We fall down on our faces and we repent. And the mercy of God raises us up to a new day. Peter knows our weakness. He was the one who denied Jesus three times. He knows deep, deep, anguishing failure and the gut-wrenching sorrow. And Peter knows the grace that lifted him up. The grace that lifts us up. Still, Peter writes this instruction to be obedient. Here is where the church of today fails greatly. The call to obedience is missing in way too many pulpits. The expectation of changed behavior is absent. Come as you are to Christ Jesus has morphed into stay as you are, go as you are. Never mind your behavior is contrary to the written word of God. That is old-fashioned thinking anyways. No need to repent. No need to feel sorry for your sins. No need to be different than the world. This is a tragedy. For there are souls who believe they are born again when in fact they are still dead and lost in their sins. The evidence they're lost and dead is their disobedience to the clear word of God and the rejection of the call to be holy. Recall on that day of Pentecost, in response to Peter's Holy Spirit-powered preaching, The people, they were cut to the heart, and they called out, "What must we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." There is that word, repent. It means to change your mind. It means to be different than what you were. The lusts, the evil desires are not to be the pattern of your life anymore. We as children of God are not to be shaped by them as we were when we had no knowledge of God and were blind and ignorant to the morality decreed by the living God. The things of the former life are left behind. The sinful desires, the lustful thoughts, unrighteous impulse, uncontrolled sexual longings, they're in the past. As a child of God, you have a new life, a new mind, a new heart, new longings, new desires. The things of the living God are the motivation for your mind, your heart, and your soul. You long to be like your Father. You long to be like your Savior, the Christ Jesus. Listen carefully to the reason Peter writes this obedience is essential as a child of God. It's in verse 15, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." Peter then points out that this has never changed as an expectation for the people of God. Verse 16, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." Peter is reaching back all the way to Moses writing in the Torah, the law of Moses, Leviticus chapter 20. "You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy and have set you apart from the nations to be my own." Set apart. That's the root meaning of holy. Clearly separate and distinct. As believers, as children of God, as Christians, we are to be distinctly different than the world. Why? Because our God is set apart and clearly distinct from all other things. Our God is holy. 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 The grace of God that called us is a powerful commitment to holiness. A call to live the faith and obedience in all things, all times, all places. No separation of Sunday morning character from a Saturday evening character. No secular life and sacred life. All is sacred life. All is lived in obedience, seeking to be holy. For example, on this Valentine's weekend, two very different movies have been released about a relationship between a man and a woman. One movie is 50 Shades of Grey. The other movie is Old Fashioned. One movie is filled with what can only be described as evil from the devil. And the other is filled with God-honoring courtship, where love is patient, love is kind, love is old-fashioned, and where chivalry makes a comeback. Clearly showing that there is a distinction between the ways of the world and the ways of the living God. Remember, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. It is written, "Be holy as I am holy." Chuck Swindoll shares a short page from his journal where he writes about this. He titles it, "Holy Is as Holy Does." This is from Chuck Swindoll. When I was 8,000 miles away from my wife in the military, I had nobody around to check up on me in regards to my holy matrimony. I had only the memory of standing before God and a couple of preachers who said the right words so that Cynthia and I might become husband and wife. I had the memory of being exclusively set apart unto my wife, and she exclusively set apart unto me for the rest of our lives. We had made a commitment to holiness, setting our lives apart for one another, to go into another life and be intimate with another partner would break that holy relationship, that exclusive oneness that was ours by holy matrimony. But it wasn't enough to have consecrated myself to my wife in that one moment. I had to continue to glance at my wedding band, stare at the photograph, cling to those letters, remember those words, you see. Even though I was permanently set apart unto my wife, I still needed to be continually confirmed in that commitment. What's true in marriage is true in our relationship with God. We were declared holy by our gracious God when we were saved and entered into a permanent relationship with Him. But from day to day, we must continually remind ourselves of our holy calling, recommit ourselves to it, and live it. Pastor Swindoll concludes that little writing by writing this. This is why I begin virtually every morning saying, Lord, I set apart my mind for you today. I set apart my passions, my eyes, my ears, my lips. I set apart my motivations, my attitude, my disciplines. I set apart all these things to you. This kind of simple reminder has kept me moving toward the goal of holiness Peter mentions in verses 15 and 16. I would urge you to do the same. Very vivid imagery from Pastor Swindell. Think of these things. Holy baptism. Holy communion. Holy matrimony, holy living, set apart by God's compassion, called to be His own by the God who forgives, set free from the past by the God of mercy, redeemed by the God of grace, with such favor, blessing and love lavished upon us. How now shall we live? With such wonders and favor shown us, how now shall we live? Peter, along with James and John, were on that mountain with Jesus, at that moment that the veil was lifted and His clothes became dazzling white and the glory shined, and there was Moses and there was Elijah, law and prophet with the Son of God, glory shining. Peter was there. He saw it. He experienced it. When Peter answers, how now shall we live? His answer is one that we really should pay attention to, because it's in the Word of God. Peter wrote, as obedient children, be holy in all we do. It's in response to God's great love, favor, compassion, mercy, grace. He is the one who's called us and set us apart to be holy. How now shall we live? As obedient children, holy and set apart to our God alone. Amen.